Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod. Joining us today in our studio on the south side of Alamosa is a familiar voice and a famous face of the San Luis Valley, Senior Marty Jones of National Public Radio fame. Marty, it's good to see you, man.
Hey, Chris.
Well, you're famous.
Good to see you, too.
You are. So right now, Marty Jones is the most famous person living in the San Luis Valley for many reasons, but mostly now because your face, Marty, is on an NPR shopping bag.
A tote bag.
You are the face of National Public Radio, the NPR tote bag. You became famous. Owen Woods is going to tell us a story, because I think it was Owen Woods, honestly, that made all this happen, made it all. Go ahead, Owen, pick it up from there.
So every Sunday night, I watched Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, and he really focuses on local news and local stuff because that's where he gets his information. And
even though it's a national show,
it's a national show, but he really dials into as local as you can get. And he's doing the intro segment on public media, and whose face comes up on this nationally broadcasted HBO television show, except for Marty Jones. And so I kind of freaked out a little bit, felt a little starstruck, and sent a text to Chris and Marianne saying, hey, you guys better watch this.
Yeah, and then we put it out there on our Alamosa Citizen feed, which I'll tell you, Marty, when we put something out, Alamosa Citizen, it can really go viral. You went viral. You were big, and now they picked up on that. Now you're on the tote bag. How's it feel?
It feels a little odd, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah, to have people coming up and talking to me. In fact, I had, most of it is people that I know, friends and family members and things of that sort. But I did have a couple of folks last week. I was coming out of the local foods office on State. They're just a little north of Milagros. We had had a meeting, and we were heading to the farm park, and a young couple were walking a dog. And I stopped to say hello to the dog. I asked if I could say hello to the dog. And one member of the couple looked at me and said, you're Marty, aren't you? I said, yes. Can I say hello to your dog? It's just cool. Odd.
Yeah, no, and I noticed, too, that you're carrying a pen in your pocket. Says, when you get approached like that, I'm guessing you're whipping out the autograph at this point. Marty Jones, the autograph.
This pen is because after this interview, I'm heading to the science fair, and I have to have something to record information on the science fair judging forums.
I should also note that Marty is the host of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. It also is produced by Owen Woods and is part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. We appreciate the work Marty does for Alamosa Citizen. How long have you been a volunteer DJ for KRZA Radio, which is how this all came about?
Well, I started in the early 1990s and was a DJ for a few years and then stopped and joined up again in 2012. So it's been, 13, 14 years of consistent twice a month shows.
And the attention that was happening at the time through the John Oliver show was around National Public Radio and the push and the need across the country to support free public radio stations like KRZA here in Alamosa, here serving the San Luis Valley. When that happened, and then the tote bag happened, what was that like? I mean, who called you? How did that happen? Where did someone from NPR say, hey, wow, who is this guy Marty Jones in Alamosa, Colorado? What the heck?
So here's the full story, Chris.
Yeah, give it to us.
So this all transpired shortly after Congress, under, I think, directions from our current administration, decided to cut off funding for public media, not just public radio, but PBS also. And when that happened, all public radio stations and all public broadcasting systems were in a scramble to find funding because it was cut off effectively, essentially immediately, you know. So Rocky Mountain PBS decided they were going to do a little story on some public media, including KRZA. So they sent a photographer, a videographer, down to the station, down to KRZA one day, and it just happened to be on a day that I had a regular show, a Monday morning mix-up show. And she was talking with Gerald, our station manager, and doing some filming, and he wanted her to see the studio while I was in the studio doing my show. And so she took a little bit of film, and then after my show was over, she wanted to talk a little bit more, and so we talked a little bit more. And within a couple of weeks or thereabouts, Rocky Mountain PBS had this little segment on that people could watch, and it featured the station and a very small portion of the story that they produced had me in the photos. So then, I don't know whether somebody from Rocky Mountain PBS had been working with the John Oliver show, but somehow the Oliver show found out about this. And I was down doing a program, and Gerald says, hey, so we got a contact from the John Oliver show wondering whether it would be possible to air that little portion of the program that Rocky Mountain PBS put on. They'd like to use the footage of you. And I said, yeah, okay, that's all right. And he said, okay, well, I need to give them... They contacted us, so I need to give them your contact information because you're going to have to get a call and give approval to be able to use this. So I said, okay. And I thought, nothing's ever going to happen. A few days later, I get a call from a number I didn't recognize, but I went ahead and answered the phone anyway, and it was somebody with the John Oliver show saying, say, can we do this? Do we have your permission to use your photo on this? Sure, that's fine. It if it'll help PBS and help NPR and KRZA, that'd be great. Again, I didn't think that anything was going to happen. And then on Sunday, November 16th, that was the day. I was at home. It was in the evening. And all of a sudden, my phone, the text ding on my phone went off. And it was from a niece of mine who lives in Louisville, Colorado. And she said, I was listening to the John Oliver show, not really paying much attention to it. And all of a sudden I thought, I know that voice. And she said, sure enough, I looked at the screen and you were on TV on the John Oliver show. Oh, well, thanks for letting me know, Allison. Yeah. So that's how it all transpired.
And then the tote bag. So then the follow-up was, they said, John Oliver said, they should make a tote bag out of Marty Jones. And he went on and on. They had a good time with you. Right.
And then, within a week or two after that John Oliver show, Corey Hutchins from Colorado College, who produces a weekly newsletter about Colorado media and Colorado in the news and so on, contacted the station and said, hey, do you think we can talk to your DJ that was on the John Oliver show? And I said, or Gerald called and asked me if it would be okay. And I said, yes, if it'll help KRZA, that'll be fine. Then a day or so later, I got a call from Corey Hutchins, and he wanted to talk about what was transpiring with this, about the tote bag and so on. And we had a nice little conversation, and it showed up in his newsletter. And honestly, one of the things that was most interesting was the fact that he commented on John Oliver saying something about Grateful Dead, you know, Santa Claus and
Santa Claus. You got a little Jerry Garcia going on there, Marty. You got a little Jerry Garcia, I got to say.
Yeah. So I mentioned to Corey that I play mandolin in a Celtic band, and I do a couple of Santa Claus gigs every year, and he got a kick out of that. And he said, well, you know, your band's going to have to learn some Grateful Dead songs. We haven't done that yet, but but maybe in a different incarnation. So at any rate, you know, then sometime in late December, I believe it was, Gerald got a call from NPR saying, hey, you know, we'd like to run with this idea of the Marty Jones tote bag. Do you think you'd be okay with that? So he, once again, he contacted me. I said, sure. And he sent me a form that NPR had sent him about a release of being able to use my image and so on. And that was in January when I signed that release and took it to Gerald, and he sent it off. And then all of a sudden, it shows up at the NPR shop.
So where is it? Where's my tote bag? Where's my tote bag?
You have to order one from the NPR shop. Just go to npr.org and click on the shop link. And then in the shop link or in the shop page, you can scroll down or click on the totes. And sure enough, there it is on the totes. I didn't realize that it was actually out until last week. I went to a gathering at Adam State, and Jacob Rissler said, no, he didn't have one. But he said, hey, what about these tote bags? I said, yeah, I understand it's going to happen. He said, no, it's happened. I said, no, wasn't the last time I looked. So we pulled it up right away. And
You look good on it. You look good. The tote bag looks good. Has the NPR branding on it. Marty's
and
front and center.
And it has KRZA on it.
It does. Okay, that looks good. But on the serious note, we appreciate the backstory, and it's a really cool thing. It's great to have you out there promoting NPR radio. The attention, though, that it is bringing to local news, local media, whether it's public radio, public broadcast, or Alamosa Citizen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is a good thing.
It is, because one of the reasons we are in the current situation that we're in as a country is because of the dearth of news.
Yeah.
And the dearth of media being able to get the truth out.
Right. And that's really why we do appreciate you, Marty, for the work you do with the Outdoor Citizen podcast, all the help you give to us with alamosacitizen.com, all the things we're trying to do as a digital-only platform. You know, we're new media. We're not old media. We're not public radio. We're not public broadcasting. We're not legacy media, right? Alamosa Citizen is new media. It's digital media. And our audience is, as you know, is very large. It's a good audience. So we really appreciate the attention that you're bringing to the importance of local news.
Yeah. You know, even though you're not legacy media, one of the things I really appreciate about the Alamosa Citizen, and I'm not saying this because I'm a podcast host for the Outdoor Citizen, but I read the Alamosa Citizen, and you're doing some of the things that legacy media used to be able to do, getting out and covering the important issues of the day and not giving it just a three-sentence highlight, but actually going into some depth about it.
Yeah, no, it's been a really good experience. We really appreciate your support with it. We're going to keep talking to Marty Jones. We're going to take a quick break. This is the Valley Pod. We'll be right back.
Looking for the freshest food in the Valley? Introducing the new SLB Local Foods Directory, where you can meet your neighbors and eat better. From colorful potatoes and crisp greens to farm-fresh eggs, dairy, and meat, find exactly who grows your food right here in the Valley. Support local, eat fresh, and strengthen our community. Are you a local farmer or producer? Add your information. Visit alamosacitizen.com today and discover the freshest food from the heart of the Valley.
Hey, we're back. We're talking to Marty Jones. He's on the NPR tote bag. He's a volunteer DJ for KRZA Radio. But before we get back to him, we just want to note a few things coming up here in the month of March, starting out with the Monta Vista Crane Festival scheduled for March 5th through the 7th. You have the Rio Grande Symposium, the Rio Grande Basin Symposium, State of the Basin Symposium. That's coming up on March 28th. Just before that, something that's close to Marty's heart, you have the Glenn Miller Big Band at Adams State on March 25th. You talked, Marty, about you also being a musician. Those are some of the highlights coming up here in the month of March. Of those, Marty, you're probably going to be, I'm guessing, at all of that. Crane Festival, Glenn Miller Big Band, State of the Basin Symposium on the Rio Grande. And I say that because you are truly a man about town. You are active.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm fortunate to be able to live in a community that has numerous opportunities for people to get involved.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. You know, you see Marty on his bicycle. You're always on your bike. And in this weather, Marty, that's almost 12 months around the year, right?
Oh, it is. There's no, especially now with climate change, there's no reason not to be out on a bicycle or walking.
You'll see Marty at all kinds of events. I mean, you're pretty much at a lot of events, as I am. You know, we see each other out there. But sure. I think that's part of the beauty of living around here is there's a lot to do in this small town and in these small towns, right?
Oh, yeah.
And absolutely. If you get out and do it, you really appreciate it more.
Yeah, I remember when we first moved to Alamosa, that was in the summer of 1989. And really, the population has maybe grown a little bit, but it hasn't changed a whole lot in that time. It's always been a small city, but we used to hear from folks, there's nothing to do in Alamosa, and that is just not the case at all. If you look for something to do, there's always something to do. In fact, you have to make choices about what you can go to because there are multiple events that are occurring on a regular basis at the same time.
Yeah, no, that's been our experience too since we moved back here in 2015, 2016 when I came back. Marty and I just
guarded. We were colleagues at that time.
Yeah, and we were just, you know, I was gone in 1989 when you showed up. I had been gone by that time, so I've never really been familiar with your full backstory. I know that, I mean, you were a very popular chemistry teacher, what, 22, 23 years at Adams State? How many years did you teach?
23 years.
Organic chemistry, that was your thing, right?
Mm-hmm. And general chemistry and just whatever, nothing in the way of analytical or physical chemistry, but.
And I know that you're big in the outdoors. You fish, you bike, you hike, you do all those things because we talk about that. And the Outdoor Citizen podcast is really good at showing us all those things that you do. Give us, though, a little bit more of Marty Jones pre-1989. Before you came to Adams State, how you got here, what that early journey was. Give us a little bit of that. Where are you from originally? Where's your hometown?
I'm a native of Kansas. I can't really claim a hometown because my dad was in education and we moved around quite a bit. I think I went to 6 different schools between first grade and graduating from high school. Then I went to undergraduate school in Emporia, Kansas, and that's where I met my wife of 50-plus years, Diana. And then together we went to graduate school at the University of New Mexico.
You were a Lobo.
And a Lobo. In fact, we used to go to the Lobo basketball games on a pretty regular basis. That was back in the day when
the Pit was pretty hopping.
Oh, it was a hopping place, and it was just a great place to be, a great place to go to graduate school. That's where we I guess, really developed our love of camping and backpacking and hiking. And
it's really your first taste of the Southwest then?
First taste of the Southwest.
Yeah.
Fell in love with it.
What is the attraction to you about this region of the country? Because you talk a lot about that. And you Albuquerque, you then came up the Rio here to Alamosa and hung out now for quite a while. But what's that attraction to you as a guy from Kansas?
Low humidity.
Yeah, makes sense.
Low humidity is a real key attractive feature. But also the mountain scenery. You know, when I was a kid growing up, my family would do a little bit of car camping. I remember once coming out to the Colorado Springs area for a church camp, and the mountains were spectacular. I've just been more attracted to the mountains. I love the plains too, but the mountains are really, they hold a special place in my heart.
So from Albuquerque.
You know, Diana and I both really enjoyed living in the Southwest, but in 1978, 1979, when we were finishing up, there just weren't many job opportunities. So we ended up moving to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I took a job as a postdoc at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and Diana worked for the Southeast Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission. Her background is economics. And we were there for a year and a half, made some good friends. But when it came time to find a full-time job, once again, at that time, the opportunities were somewhat limited. But there was a job available at the University of North Dakota in Grand Forks, North Dakota. So took that job. Diana taught economics there. I taught chemistry there. But the state of North Dakota at that time was not supporting higher education the way that we felt it should be supported.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there's no mountains in North Dakota. There are some hills there. Grand Forks is right on the Minnesota-North Dakota border. So it's in a very flat Red River Valley, a potato growing region, just like the San Luis Valley. And in 89, an opportunity arose to apply for a job back in Colorado. And I was lucky enough to interview and then be selected to come here.
And the rest is history.
And the rest is history. Plus, it also, the University of North Dakota was a graduate school. And so I had master's students and PhD students. And I always felt that my real strength was more in the area of undergraduate education, focusing on that.
So you show up.
That was what happened here.
So you show up in 1989.
Yep.
What is it about Adams State, Alamosa, the Valley? Because we do see many examples of people like you who discover, come in, find a job, however they get here at Adams State, at Alamosa, and they stay. You have potential for career movement. Once you're a professor, you're a PhD, once you have experience, you easily, Marty Jones, could have moved on, I'm certain, to other chemistry professor jobs, et cetera. But yours isn't an uncommon story. We see that here. And I'm not in that world. I don't know why. I was born here.
I think one of the reasons that was most important for me was that I felt very supported at Adams State. If there were some new teaching techniques that I wanted to try, go to it. Mm-hmm. Take your time, build it up, see whether it works or not. And I had excellent colleagues that I worked with. One of the main reasons, at the time that I accepted the job here at Adams State, I had an offer at what is now CSU Pueblo also. Mm-hmm. So I could have gone there, but the school just didn't seem right.
Mm.
The dean, my dean at that time, Kay Watkins mm-hmm. was one of the principal reasons I decided to come here, because he just made the school seem like an ideal spot to develop more skills as a teacher, to be able to interact with the students on a regular basis. Plus, there's all these outdoor activities.
And they turned you on to that. People like Kay Watkins, I've heard you tell these stories. You've had people like Kay Watkins who helped recruit you in here. Matt Nearing's another one, others that you've talked to, who introduced you to fly fishing, yeah, to the outdoors here in the valley. And that's what hooked you, right?
Good point. Kay Watkins and Mel Armoll are the ones that really got me interested in fly fishing. And as Chris mentioned, got me hooked on it. I used to think that fishing was nothing more than putting a worm on a hook and throwing it out and watching a bobber and hoping that something would swim by. And fly fishing is not like that. It's a lot more interesting. But other recreational opportunities as well.
Have you always been a bicyclist?
I've been a bicyclist all my life, but never as serious as here. And I have to, when we moved here, Diana and I both decided that it was time for us to get some mountain bikes instead of just the skinny tire road bikes. And I still remember shopping around in a variety of places, but then settling on purchasing a bike from Christy Mountain Sports, and I'm so glad that I did. I thought that we probably needed a little bit of instruction in mountain biking, how it's different than being on the road and so on. So I talked to someone that Owen knows very well, Hobie Dixon. And because Hobie actually had been involved in the start of Christy Mountain Sports. Mm-hmm. Said, Hobie, can you show Diana and I a little bit about mountain biking? And he said, yes, I'd be happy to. He said, do you have a helmet? I said, no, never worn a helmet. He said, I'll be happy to show you mountain biking as soon as you get a helmet.
Yeah, good advice.
It was excellent advice. That's advice that I've tried to pass on to other people as well.
I've heard you do that.
So at any rate, we go out to what is now the Riparian Park, but at that time was called Carroll's Woods. And he took us out there, showed us what was involved, and gave us some pointers on when you need to lean forward, when you need to lean back, and how to downshift if you get into sandy soil and all this sort of stuff that we hadn't really never had experience with before. So I'm indebted to Hobie a lot for mountain biking.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Honest to goodness, he's another reason for staying here between Hobie and Verl Keen and getting us interested in looking at birds. Did you ever know Verl Keen?
No.
Yeah, he was the ornithologist when we first came to the valley. And he was telling us, yeah, it's time to go see some bald eagles. And I said, well, where do we go to see them? And he says, go to County Line Road, turn south, and look for the eagle tree.
He knew
this is an example of something that happens a lot, and I'm guilty of it. Yeah. We assume that everybody, regardless of how new they are to the valley, knows all the local lingo. County Line Road. Well, I didn't really know where County Line Road was. I figured it was maybe somewhere close to the boundary between Alamosa County and Rio Grande County. And Eagle Tree. Look for the Eagle Tree. I thought, well, what's that? So we go out there following Verl's advice. Turn south on County Line Road off 160 because we didn't know about the Co-op Road or the Waverly Road, right? Turn south, and it became pretty apparent there's not a whole lot of big trees out there. And about 4 miles south of US 160, off to the west, we saw bald eagles sitting in a group of just two or three trees. It was so obvious, became pretty apparent why he said, go to the eagle trees.
Pretty cool story. You know, and I have to say that listening to you talk and listening to you explain your path into Adams State and all the people you've met along the way and all the things you discovered being here, being a professor at Adams State, being a resident of Alamos in the San Luis Valley. It's people like you that come in here that make this a richer community. It is people that come into the Valley. And we're a great community as we are. But to have people like you share your knowledge, share your expertise, be part of the community. You're a big part of the community. You don't have to be. You are. But it's those people that make Alamosa the Valley that much richer. And I really appreciate what you do, really appreciate all the contributions you've made through your life, through your career here in Alamosa.
Well, thank you. Those are kind words, Chris. I should point out that there are lots of folks who do exactly what you said, come to Alamosa, discover that there is a world of opportunities here. And we've had any number of folks who have come as young volunteers for a year or two with like Mennonite Voluntary Services or used to be VISTA, Volunteers in Service to America.
AmeriCorps.
And AmeriCorps now and so on, who have come. They spend a year or two and they stay or they leave for a year or two and come back. I'm thinking there are numerous folks that we could cite who have made this community a richer community by coming and staying.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's a special place. We have a lot of special people. You are one of them. We appreciate you coming in here, Marty Jones. You can listen to him more on the Outdoor Citizen podcast. We'll have an episode later on this week, next week. Yeah, you every 2 weeks, twice a month. We appreciate the work that you do there. Hey, you've been listening to the Valley Pod. The Valley Pod is produced by Owen Woods and is part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. See you around the Valley.
All right, thanks.